Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, going to ask you again. Going to keep asking you. What am I going to ask you? Somebody tell me. Ah, very good. Who read through Luke? I want you to read through the whole book of Luke. And do it as at one sitting if you can. If you can't do it at one sitting, just do that this week. Read through the whole book as quickly as you can. It's wonderful for seeing the... What are the two things you see in there? There it is. Somebody said it. Say it again. Words and works. Words and works. So look for that in there. So today, I want to draw your attention to something else for a few moments, though. The recent storms in Texas and the floods that happened in France, these things remind us how quickly and frightfully our world can literally be turned upside down. Such tragedies and disasters have a way of focusing us on what is truly important in life. Sometimes we benefit from the hardships of others, the loss and the pain of others, if we are humble and wise enough to pay attention. I had my world turned upside down 6 years ago with the death of my mother. My sense of what is normal and what is usual was forever changed when she passed away. And I do rejoice that she rests in Christ, but yet there are still days that I'm learning to cope with this change, profound change in my world. I can imagine that Bathsheba, Uriah's wife in the Old Testament lesson today, also had to cope with a profound change in her world when her husband was killed. But the circumstances of his death that she faced were not brought on by something as mundane as a heart attack. No, it was the result of the greedy and lustful heart of King David. That's what brought such devastation to Bathsheba's world. As the story tells us, David had Uriah, a brave soldier, killed just so that David could legally take Bathsheba as his wife. Such a corruption and a perversion of God's law. Uriah served his king, as do those who serve our country in uniform, with steadfastness and honor. If you take the time, and you're reading from Luke, but if you take the time to read this whole passage out of Samuel, you'll see that Uriah, the Hittite, sets a standard of dedication and faithfulness to his fellow servicemen, honorable service to the chain of command, and an adherence to duties that carries down to this day to those who serve in our armed forces as well. And it is those very traits that King David took advantage of in order to betray Uriah. And in that betrayal, David is found out through God's prophet Nathan. And he stands accused and condemned for his betrayal. But in our scripture readings today, David isn't the only betrayer. And Bathsheba isn't the only one who has her world changed. In the gospel reading, we see the Pharisee, Simon, who, like David, also finds himself confronted by a man of God with his betrayal. We also have Mary Magdalene, who has her world turned upside down, not by betrayal, but by God's grace. I know some people dispute whether this woman drying his feet is Mary Magdalene or not. There's scholarship that goes both ways. I go with the scholarship that says that it is. I acknowledge others see it differently. But the grace that is shown to her is spoken to her by the same man of God who confronts the Pharisee. For Simon the Pharisee, the world is ordered and correct according to how he sees his place in the religious structure of his day. He believes himself to be exempt from the normal social customs that Jesus points out to him. The kiss, the water, etc. Jesus points out to him because of his own exaggerated sense of self. And this is a betrayal. It's a betrayal of the very obedience to God that Simon thinks that he does so well. To him, his own morality and self-righteousness are what keep his world in order, and not the mercy of God shown to others. Jesus punctures that self-righteousness with his story of the two men who are forgiven different amounts of their debts. The one who is forgiven more, Simon the Pharisee judges correctly, is the one who loves more. And in speaking this judgment, Simon reveals that he, like King David, doesn't even see his own sin. And then there's Mary. She, by her tears, confesses her sin and her need, desperate need of forgiveness. She comes to Jesus for his pardon, and she receives it. Not because she's earned it with her tears, but because Jesus knows her need. And he accepts her humble service to him as her confession. He then gives her, through his word, the absolution that frees her from all guilt. And in that, her world is changed. What I believe these readings together teach us is that we cannot come to God and presume our own righteousness. We cannot come to God and presume our own righteousness. We cannot come to God either here in worship or in our daily prayers with any sort of a sense of entitlement or of just simply we're here just to go through the motions. David was confronted with his sin by the story that Nathan told him of the one sheep of the poor man being unjustly taken away. The Pharisee, Simon, was shown his own lack of following God's law of love by the woman who, in his own house, showed the love and the devotion due to a visitor, due to Jesus. Sometimes it is difficult to really see our sin, and we need something like a Nathan and his story of the poor man's sheep, or Jesus and his story of the two debtors forgiven, to help us see our sin, to see our sin for the outrageous betrayal and stark affront to God that it truly is, rather than sin being something that we presume that we can control. I want to give you a few moments right now, and I'm going to ask you to silently answer this for yourself. What is it in your world that shows you your sin? How are you truly confronted with your own lack of control? Just take a moment and think about it. Again, the weather the last several weeks has served to show us just how little we are in control. But it has also provided a real-world demonstration of what today's readings show us. The benefit of being warned. Weather reports are there for us to be warned of the danger that is coming our way. Now, those reports do not give you control of the weather, but give you time to respond in a way in which it's not in your power, again with the weather, to control. So these warning stories from Scripture today are there for us. They show us that we cannot control sin. We cannot control God's wrath or anger at sin. we're caught in the deadly winds of God's destruction on sin, if we fail to receive both the warning and the protection that God's word gives us. We are in danger of certain death from our own greed and lust, our own pride and arrogance. And we oftentimes simply don't, or we won't see it. Like David and the Pharisee, we need to be shown our need for repentance. David, through the story, Nathan tells him, did see it. And by God's grace, he was able to make his confession, and so he was spared death. Now, it is true. His child had to die. But that only shows us the truly great cost of our sin. God's own child, Jesus Christ, also had to die on the cross for sin. He had to die for us, so we, like David, could be spared the penalty of death that our sin requires. God in love chose to sacrifice his child so that we would be forgiven our debt of sin. Like the two men who owed money in Jesus' story, both were forgiven, but the one who was forgiven much loved much. And that is what turned Mary's world upside down, the great love of God expressed through Jesus Christ. By her being drawn to him and through her tears acknowledging her great need, Jesus pronounced the words of forgiveness that indeed resulted in a change in her world. That change is what allowed her to love much. She recognized the only source of true forgiveness and restoration, Jesus Christ. And when she found him, though she did not deserve it, she received the words of Jesus as her comfort and her peace. Jesus said to her, what does it say? And with those words, her world was changed. Those same words also change your world. Those same words also change your world. Those words are what we hear declared to us when we come and confess our sins as we did this morning, humbly and without self-righteousness. When we, like David, hear that you are the man who took the one sheep that was dear to its owner and carelessly sacrificed it, we know we're the ones who have betrayed God's faithfulness to us. And we, like Mary, need to then have our world changed. Jesus is the only Lamb of God who was sacrificed on the cross to take away the sin of the entire world and then rose from the grave in victory over death. Jesus tells us, like he told Mary, your sins are forgiven, and what? Go in peace. So we do go from here today with our world changed. Our hearts and minds are now at peace in the grace of God alone. May we now serve God as honorably as Uriah served David. May we, having had our world changed by the love of God, go in the peace that Jesus pronounced to us and to Mary. And may we, having our world so changed by the word of Christ alone, go into the week ahead, and now free and strengthened for hearing, sharing, and living the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. May the words of our mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.